I'm going to be continuing the series of spiritual disciplines for spiritual health. And I'm going to be talking about waiting on God. So I've talked to you about up here, about it before up here, but if you don't know, I have just came out of a time in my life back in October where I was waiting on God. I was waiting on God for some years. I was at a job that I did not like. It was a horrible schedule. You know, it was 12-hour shifts. You know, I worked nights. It was just horrible. And I went through this. I was at this job for about 4.5 years. And I went through multiple interviews, multiple applications. And it was just, But back in this October, you know, one of the things I had been waiting for and been praying about for God, it finally came to pass. Back in October, I got a new job that I'm loving. You know, it marked off all my check marks for the job I was looking for. I was looking for a job that, you know, I'm home every night, off on the weekends, off every holiday, and now I got that. I'm off on even those holidays that you forget are holidays. You know, anytime those holidays come around, I'm going, yay, whoever this holiday is for, I'm off. Whatever it is. But there are some things I kind of had to learn during that time waiting on God. And one of the most important things to remember is if you are in a place where you are waiting on God, is that God's timing is not our timing. So I told this joke kind of at the end of the first service, but I'm going to open up with it. So the story of a man, he went up to God and said, God, how long is 1 second to you? He says, oh, it's 1 million years. And then he's like, oh, okay. How much is $1 to you? Oh, it's like $1 million. So this guy being crafty and thinking, you know, go up to God and like, hey, God, can I have $1? And then God's response is, yeah, in 1 second. So it's just kind of, guess the thing, God's timing is not necessarily our timing. So there are some things you learn and you get that you, when you are waiting on God. First thing is this, patience is key. Now, if you ask me, during that 4.5 years, I was extremely patient. If you ask my wife, she will tell you a different version of that. But that's one of those things I had to learn. I had to learn to be patient. James 5, 7 through 8 tells us this. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who are patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now think about that. If you're a farmer, especially here in Texas, if you're a farmer, you're waiting for rain, and you walk outside, and it is that dry heat that's killing everything. How do you think that would feel? But you have to patiently wait for the rain. Because they know there's nothing they can do to make it rain. There's nothing. They can't get out there, you know, do a rain dance or yell at the sky or the clouds. Now, personally, I didn't mind, you know, this last year when we had that kind of weather. Because I was able to not cut my grass for like 3 weeks. Because it was just all dried up and dead. So I was fine with it. But those that need the rain had to wait for the rain. Because that's the thing you got to remember, is you have to wait no matter what. Whether you're patient about it or not is up to you. Romans 8:25 tells us, but if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. So for me, going through, you know, that time where I was at this job, it felt like forever. Day after day, having to get up, go to this place, know that there was nothing I could do to get out of it. but I had to remain patient. Now, I'm not perfect, so I didn't always remain so patient. So for me, that opened some doors. So when we are not patient and we lose our patience, there are things that can happen. First thing is it opens the door for doubt and complaining. See, if you haven't heard the story of Job, the story goes like this. You know, Satan comes up to God and being like, God, what you got? And then God responds, I have my servant Job, who's faithful to me, who praises me. And Satan tells him, well, that's only because you bless him. Then God says, okay, test him. So he goes down there. He kills all of his kids, kills all his livestock, kills all his harvest. He leaves his wife, so I don't know about that. That's, you can read into that what you want. But he leaves his wife. And then at the end of Job, because Job never cursed God, because Job never blamed God, he blessed him with twice as much. But here's the thing. There's more than two chapters in Job. See, do you want to know what happened between all that and Job? Job did a lot of doubting and a lot of complaining. He always came up to God saying, God, why? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not a sinner. Why are you punishing me? My friends are just judging me, saying I did something wrong. I must have sinned. My wife is saying that I should just curse you and die. Why are you doing this to me? And that's about the end of almost every chapter of Job. He just comes. He's doubting that God's going to do anything. He's like, okay, God, if this is it, just kill me. I'm done. But then he comes back to God. He puts his trust in God. And that's when God blesses him two times. And then the other thing that happens when we won't be patient is we want to do things our own way. There's a story about a man named Abraham in the Bible. Abram at this time, that God promised him a son with his wife, who then at that time was a little bit on the older side. And so in his first thought was, she's too old, she can't. So after a few attempts and tries and all that, with nothing happening, he sits there and thinks to himself, you know what? I'll just do this my own way. I'll go over here to the servant woman and I'll have a son that way to fulfill God's promise. But as the story goes, that wasn't God's promise. That wasn't God's way. He tried to do it his own way. And even though he had a son named Ishmael, as God said, oh, you're going to have a son, and all the nations are going to come from him. All of Israel is going to come from him. But that wasn't God's way, and that wasn't God's promise. So sometimes we do that to ourselves. When we won't be patient, we try to do things our own way. And God's just going to simply be like, well, that's not my way. We must go my way in order to get the promise. And one of the things we do when we lose patience is we lose sight of God. One of the times when Moses was on the mountain talking to God, he was up there for some period of time, and the rest of Israel got impatient. They got tired of waiting for him to come down. So what do? They melted down gold and made a golden calf and worshiped other gods. And so Moses had to come down and be like, okay, we've been through this. We've already walked through this. But now I got to reteach you everything. So that kept them from getting to their promise. So I don't know if you're like me. I can sometimes get really annoyed when a light changes on me and then I'm stuck. I'm just like, you know what, light? You had to wait 3 more seconds. 3 more seconds, And then I would have been able to go. And then you could have turned red. I don't know if you've ever liked that or not. I don't know if it's just me. But sometimes, you know, we got to learn some patience. Because when you're waiting on God, patience is key. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever done this or not. But if you ever ask God to help you learn some patience, you're probably going to end up regretting it in the first part. But it's going to be all more of it at the end. Because what is God going to do to teach you some patience? He's going to put you in a situation where you have to have patience. And sometimes our patience runs thin. Sometimes we just run out of patience. We get tired of waiting. But thankfully, Isaiah 40:31 tells us, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So what do we do if with our life, when we're waiting on God, we feel like our patience is running out? We trust God. Trust that God is there and that His promise is still good. Because that's what His word tells us, is that He is good on His promises. So when you feel like your patience may be running thin, trust me, I know I was there multiple times throughout that my journey of waiting on God. So when we are waiting on God, we have to remember patience is key. And the next thing is this, is sometimes when we're waiting on God, He's waiting on us. You see, as a parent who's old, our older one's 8 now, this understanding comes to you that no matter how good the gift you have for them is and how much you know they would love it, when they're acting a certain way, you don't want them to have it. You know, he comes in there and says, "Yeah, I should have this. It's mine." And as a parent, I'm going to be like, "No, it's not." And that's sometimes the way it is with us. God looks at us, He looks in us, and He sees that, okay, we're not aligned with Him. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this, "The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." See, when we think God has stopped moving, sometimes He's actually waiting on us for us to move. He's waiting on us to get to a place to where we're ready for His promise. I want you to imagine this. Imagine someone is either giving you, they're giving you your dream home or your dream house, whatever one you want to picture. They're like, "You can have this right now." But, as of course with most things, you still have to pay the note and you still have to pay the mortgage or whatever it may be. And you're like, "Oh, you know, I'm not done paying my, you know, my note on the other car. Still have this to pay. Still have this to pay. You know, I'm kind of tight on finances, right? But I'll take it." Because, hey, why not? You're getting what you want right then and there. And a little bit down the road, the bank calls. "Hey, you've been behind on your payments. You're not paying us, so we're taking it back." See, it's the same way with us. And when God looks at us, if God looks at us and says, "You know, if I gave this to you right now, you could end up just messing it up, ruining it for you now, because you're not ready." So for me, you know, I kind of had, best way to put it is grow up some. You know, going through, you know, waiting on God, you know, there's a lot going through my mind. One of the first things was, okay, how do I get this to happen? You know, okay, maybe if I get up here and I do some worship, you know, God would be like, all right, you know, you're worshiping me, so here's this. Or do some prayer, be like, oh, Jesus. And God be like, okay, here you go. That's not how God works. See, we can't just come in here and necessarily persuade God to be like, God, I can do it. Because God knows. We have to align our hearts with God. See, he doesn't want us to come in here and worship because we want something. He wants us to come in here and worship because of our relationship with him. That despite what we're at, despite what we're waiting on or going through, we're still here to worship him, to be with him because we have a relationship. And have you ever, any of you have that relative that only comes by when you need something? When they need something, huh? And do they come by and be like, hey, man, I know it's been a while. You got 10 bucks? How do you picture that person? When that person comes in, how do you feel? You think sometimes that's how God feels when he sees us, when that's all we come for him for? The only time we pray is when we want something. You know, imagine us just walking in and God being like, oh, it's you. What do you want? And that's the first thing God says is because he knows us. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. See, when we put our relationship with God first, and that's our priority. It doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter what we want or if we haven't got what we wanted or needed. That's when we are aligned with God. You know, we're not, I'm just, I'll be honest. I had a lot of times of worship that I'm just sitting here. You know, if I'm singing holy, 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 but what I'm really in my heart, I'm saying, God, I need, God, I want. And I'm trying to say, God, look, I'm worshiping. Give me what I want. And it was never working for God because he knows. But it was when in my heart I really got that. That, okay, I'm not coming here. I'm not doing this just to get what I want. I'm here because, for one, I have a relationship with God. And he's given me a mission, and that comes first. When all that aligned is when I really felt like God was able to move on the promise he had for me. That I was finally able to get that job that I've been waiting for. Because I'll tell you, like I was debating with God. I was in that part where the patience where, you know, I was like Job. I was going to God and being like, God, why is this happening to me? You know, I come to him, I'm like, God, the reason I want a new job so I can be home with my family every night. Help my wife with the kids. You know, spend time with them. This seems like a good reason. It's the same with Job. Job was going up to him, God, I didn't do anything wrong. But it's when we got that heart aligned with God that he was able to fulfill his promise because I was where I was need to be. But when you have that thought, there's one thing I got to remind you, and that's point number three, is there are no cheat codes. See, a cheat code is a term we use in video games where you put in this code and then, you know, either you can't get hurt or you go all the way to the last level at the end of the game. But with God, there are no cheat codes. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us this. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things way that you and me see them. People judge by outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So even through all this journey of me waiting, that's one of the biggest things I had to learn. I had to realize and get myself is because God's looking at my heart. There are no cheat codes. There are no shortcuts. Proverbs 21:5 tells us, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Then Proverbs 19:2 tells us, furthermore, it isn't good to be ignorant, and whoever rushes into things misses the mark. Because that, I got to tell you, that was my mindset. You know, I was sitting here thinking to myself, okay, all right, what do I need to do? How can I do this to get God's promise for me? How can I get it so I'm here? But there are no shortcuts. And sometimes if we try to take those shortcuts, we can miss our mark. There's quite a funny story. This last Friday, we went to my mom's house, and the Tartaglios were coming over, and my son Lincoln, he's 8 years old, who's also quite small. My mom bought a high chair for our youngest Jackson, and I got it out of the box, I was taking it, and Lincoln was playing with the box and realized he can fit inside the box. So he was in this box waiting for them to get there. And the way the living room is set out is you kind of have a couch right here. Over on this side is the living room. And if you go kind of behind the couch, the kitchen's over here. And he was just on this side in the living room, leaning up against the couch. He was in there for probably a good 30 minutes waiting for them to get there. And he was being so patient. But he didn't wait very much long enough when they got there. Because when they got there, everyone soon just started and turned into the kitchen and set down some stuff. And he popped out, and no one noticed. And they were all in there, and they were like, oh, man, there's like... I kind of felt bad for him because he was in that box for 30 minutes. And I shouldn't tell the story because she's right there. And, you know, I don't even know if we kept the box. I don't even know where it's at. But that's when you look into, if you try to rush into things, you can miss your mark. There are no shortcuts. You know, waiting on God, it's not a math problem. There's no solving it and getting the answer. Now, I'll be honest with you, and you may be here too. I was pretty hurt myself, depressed, whatever you want to call it, waiting on God. Because one of the things you've probably never heard from up here, from the pulpit, from any church, is that when you're waiting on God, sometimes it sucks. And there's just the honest truth. But it doesn't mean it's useless. It doesn't mean God doesn't have a reason for it. Oftentimes when we're waiting on God and it's taking a bit of time, yeah, it sucks. But he's preparing you for the best. He's waiting on you to be where you can be that he can fulfill his promise and you can live it to its fullness. Like if you had the illustration with the car in the house, you know, yeah, you know, that car in the house, it'd give you joy for that time you had it. But as soon as you lost it, it's gone. But God wants to wait for that opportunity that he can give you that and you can enjoy it for the rest of your life for however long he has for you. But sometimes it takes us making sure we get to the right place. Let me put it the best way, the most clear way I know how. When it comes on waiting on God and moving to put us in the place where we need to be to get that promise. Just imagine a room about this size. There's one door out. You don't know where the door's at. Now you have hundreds of poles and pillars just coming down. And the room's pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of you. Go ahead and try to run through that room. not going to turn out good for you. So you're going to have to get out there, start slowly moving your way throughout the poles, slowly making your way across the room. Then you finally get across the room and realize the door's not there. So then you got to go back through, finding all different ways. I got to tell you, that's what I felt like for years. But here's the main point. Is this, number four, is waiting is worth it. Now, one thing I could have done while I was waiting for a job, is, you know, I kind of described the job, you know, it was mandatory overtime. So anytime they needed people, it didn't matter if it was supposed to be your day off, if you had plans, whatever, they're like, okay, you need to come in. And all that. So I could have easily been like, you know what, I'm going to go to another job that's just a tiny bit better. It's still nights, pays the same, but, you know, maybe I won't have mandatory overtime or anything like that. It's just a little better. Well, that didn't meet what I believed God was had for me. I very well could have done that and then just been in the same situation I was then. But no, God told me to wait. And that is when he opened the door for me to have the job I have now. That I'm home every night. That I'm off on the weekends. So I'm here to tell you this, is that waiting is worth it. See, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. See, I know it's difficult sometimes when you're waiting on God. And I don't know what you have. We all are in different places in our life. We're all waiting for different things. But I'm telling you, it is worth the wait. Because God's promise, whatever God has for you, is the best. I know we live in a world where we just want to pop it in the microwave, be done in a minute, and then move on. But unfortunately, God is not a microwave God. Now, I really can't tell you why it took so long for me. There was probably a lot of things in my heart I had to work out. A lot of ways I had to grow up. I had to mature and come closer to God in our relationship before this promise of his could come. But I tell you, it was worth it all. It was worth the wait. So do not be discouraged. I promise you it is worth it. I had times, you can ask my wife, that, you know, I told her, I was like, I can just call right now and quit. Just right now. Not have to go back. And, you know, she kindly reminded me that we need money. You know, I told her to get a second job, but she just didn't like that. But I had those times. I was pushed. I felt like I was pushed down below my limit. But I got to a place where I had to constantly remind myself to trust in God. Because as Isaiah tells us, when we trust in God and we put our trust in God, we have renewed strength. I had to check my heart daily to be like, okay, God, am I just trying to get what I can out of you? Or is this a relationship? have to remind myself daily that he has plans for hope. That he can do greater, far more than what I think or can imagine. Because one day, you will get there. I don't know what you've gone through, what you're going through, what you're waiting on. The only thing I want you to remember is that it's worth it. That God has the greatest plan for you that you could ever imagine. So I'm going to pray, and I want you to put yourself before God. Say, God, where am I at? What do I need to do? Do I just need a little more patience? Are there some things in me I need to correct and align myself with you? And then if God says, just wait, just wait. During our waiting time is when praise and prayer can become all so powerful. God, we come to you right now. We thank you for meeting with us here. And God, we are here to say we put our trust in you. God, that if our hearts are in the wrong place, that you will come and help us align our heart with yours. Because we want what you have. What you have to offer us, that's what we want. Because we know it will be better than anything else we could even think or imagine. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.